Hello, I'm Stu Sensei, and welcome to the Stu Sensei English Podcast, the place that helps you unlock your English ability. Let's crack on with the show. Hello and welcome to the Stu Sensei English Podcast with me, Stu Sensei. Today we're welcoming back Dan Sensei, who will be here today to talk to us about how he feels the internet is affecting English. Let's go! So we both live in Japan and, you know, we have multiple learners coming to us and you begin to see similarities, a pattern based on maybe the school system, the way that they've learned English previously in the past. And obviously the school system here is predominantly based around written or just listening and just the knowledge of the language itself and less on the speaking. What do you do in that situation? Do you think it's possible to start speaking English as soon as you begin learning, even from the basics?
That's a really tricky question. The way I see it, there's kind of two main thought processes that happen here. One is that, like, you can't output until you've done X amount of input. And, you know, whether that's learning the core 3,000 vocabulary or X amount of hours of listening, or no, like when you learned English as a baby, you listened for a long time, everything went in before you even tried to output. And there is merits in that. Like, there's a lot of good things. Like, it really helps you from not developing bad habits, and it gives you a strong base before you really try and dip your toe in the water. However, speaking from the first lesson is also perfectly viable. It's both have pros and cons, for sure. When I learned Japanese, I know it's not English, but when I learned Japanese, I was speaking day one. I was learning to make sounds and I was speaking, and of course, horrendous amount of mistakes. Like, it's not even, and I have developed certain bad habits.
How did that make you feel when you made the mistakes when you first started?
At first, I took it a little like, oh, I really need to get that right. After a while, I understood that I am a language learner. I'm not gonna be perfect. As long as I can communicate and that person understood what I'm trying to say, it's not a test. Whether I'm perfect or not doesn't really matter. What matters is that we understood each other and that we could communicate that message. And when I embraced that and stopped worrying about, oh my God, did I use the exact correct grammar that I should have done? I became way more confident. Like, I don't need to be perfect. I can try. Like, this is the thing, especially being in Japan. So many people are scared to try, because they're afraid that they'll make a mistake. And in truth, learning a language is making mistakes. Nobody ever went from zero to fluent without making millions of mistakes in the middle, right? Like,
even native speakers, yeah?
That's, yeah, like, we were kids.
The classic is like your mum telling you, you saying to your mum, "Mum, you love." And then they say, "Oh, that's so cute." But we're always making mistakes.
And I think as a teacher as well, one of the things we have to learn is how to do that error correction in a way that doesn't ostracize that person, right? If you, every time somebody opens their mouth, that's not right, they're going to give up pretty quick.
Yeah.
So we learn techniques, you know, like echoing or delayed error correction or whatever it is, that I think the most important thing you can do for a student, a new person who's coming to learn the language, is create a safe environment for them to try. And it's okay if they make mistakes. That's how we're going to learn. So for me, I think that speaking from an early stage and getting that person to use the language is useful for a couple of reasons. One, it helps them build their confidence and it helps them get to that understanding quickly that they're going to make mistakes. And second, it kind of makes it more interesting. I don't know about you, Stu, but I don't have much interest in reading a textbook for 10 months before I can try and speak. I want to speak today. Like, I want to communicate with people. And that's why I prefer that side. But I do understand the pros and cons from the other side. So, I don't know. What do you think?
It's tricky. Like you say, it's a tricky one. I definitely think you should start as soon as possible. I don't think there's a need to delay, even if you're just self-talking, you know. So, there are methods to do it without the conversation. But what I found is that students tend to... they tend to not have conversations and then just attempt to practice very slowly or lacking in doing anything, really, maybe just 5 minutes a week or very small amount of practice even on their own. And they just try and consume more and more knowledge, thinking that's the way that they will learn the language, because obviously that's what we've been taught through school. You just pick up in any subject, a textbook, and you learn it, memorize it, and then you finish whatever test you need to do. So I found that that's the difficulty. And normally my lessons, at least for the first few, is to really get them used to just using their mouth. Because if you're not speaking, you can't improve. And a conversation is a pressure situation, you know. So you have to get used to that pressure. And you have to get used to, like you said, you got used to making mistakes. And I think you have to make it normal. So it's a very important thing. 100%.
Sure. Totally agree.
Obviously, many people in Japan have a great knowledge of English, much better than most people would admit, I think. But what do you think they can do in terms of actually improving their speaking skills? What do you usually tell to your, what do you usually say to your students, suggest?
Like, I find that a lot of students that I've taught, their learning is 95% input based, like you mentioned. You know, I've taught in schools, I know how the education system works, for especially, you know, junior high school, elementary school. It's a lot of like, here's the knowledge, remember it. And that's great for building up a knowledge of grammar and vocabulary. But if you can't use those things, kind of what's the point? I remember once you know, TOEIC is a big deal here, right? And I met a guy who'd got a TOEIC score of like 850 or something. So pretty high score. Guy couldn't put two sentences together. Like, he couldn't speak because he never really tried. He saw it as like an academic conquest. Like, oh, I want to get the best score on this test. Great. Why? What is that doing for you? Like, if you're not outputting and actually using the language, then what is the point? Like, and to that point there, like, how do you do that? How do you go from having the knowledge in your brain to being able to use it? And the key thing which you touched on is you've got to practice, and you've got to practice a lot. When I was learning Japanese, what I would do is I would learn a new expression. And I'd go to the standing bar near my house. And I would say that expression to everyone. And I wanted to see what they would say. Like, A, did they understand me? B, how did they respond? And that way, not only did I kind of confirm what I thought I knew, I learned how to respond to that. And I've been in so many conversations that I had no right to be in that conversation where I was in terms of learning. And it taught me to, you know, you've got to swim, otherwise you're going to drown. And now when I'm in a conversation where I don't particularly understand the context, or, you know, I'm not particularly well versed in that subject, I can survive because of the skills that I learn. Language is not just word grammar. There's a lot of communication skills and things like that that you can only learn by doing. So I think, you know, if I had to give somebody some advice, is put yourself in a situation where you have to do it a lot and you've got no choice but to improve. And if you don't have that facility, talk to yourself about things that you don't know much about. Like, in the shower, have a 5-minute conversation with yourself in English about what you're going to do today. You know, something like that. There's always a way. Shadowing is something that I often recommend to students. You know, there's enough stuff online, podcasts or YouTube videos, and just get used to speaking I think anything you can do, and even if it's just 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day, it's really good.
Just get going. It's the key thing, isn't it? Just get started. I mean, so many people haven't, and you definitely can't improve. You can't become a good footballer if you don't move your legs.
Exactly. You got to get off that chair. And
yeah, 100%. Yeah. Many people are worried about the amount of vocabulary they know. That's why they constantly input more and more, worried about there's going to be a situation where they won't understand something. But if you even reflect back on your experiences with Japanese as well, how many, if you could, can you put a quota on how many words you need for a good conversation?
Probably there's some science out there that tells you, but in Japanese, I'm not sure. I mean, my vocabulary is a bit weird. I kind of learned survival Japanese, so I know a lot of words that are relative to me. But, you know, if you put me in a conversation with something that's not relevant to my life, I'm going to struggle a little bit. But I know in English, there's the Oxford Core 3000, right? And these 3,000 most commonly used English words, you can look on their website. They've got a great resource for that. If you know those 3,000 words, you're going to be fine in like 95% of daily conversations. And that's really powerful. 3,000 words is not a lot. And people that think, oh, I need to know 10,000, 12,000 words. You're putting all that extra effort in for that 5%, like
before mastering the first 3,000. Yeah, that's one of the biggest issues I find with many students is they haven't used the core vocabulary enough to become fluent enough in conversations where they can eventually start inputting more specific vocabulary. You know, they're just new all the time, and almost to an excessive amount, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you get those situations where they learn a new word, right? And they want to use it in a sentence because they've learned this new word, but it doesn't belong in that sentence. So they kind of push it into a sentence where it doesn't belong and it sounds really weird. And you can always tell the ones that study too much vocabulary because they're using words that don't belong in that sentence because they should be using the basic word. And it's fine understanding what a word means, but learning how to use it. You know, if it's like really formal or if it's really academic or if it's really scientific, like it's got to belong in the right context. And that's really, really important. But like you said, that 3,000 is the key. If you can get that down, then you can learn relative words to a conversation. You know, that's when you start listening to some other podcasts and you're learning specific words, you know, maybe about politics or specific words, maybe about economy or whatever you're interested in. But until you've got that 3,000 words, don't try learning these fancy words. They're not going to make you sound cooler or more intelligent. They're probably going to make you sound a bit strange, to be honest.
That's it for this one, guys. Thank you so much for watching. You can find Dan at Dan Sensei English on Instagram and YouTube. But I hope to see you back for the next episode. Ciao.